from St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking. Tim Whitney has served as the second in command within the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department for a number of years. And with incumbent Jefferson County Executive Dennis Gannon retiring, Whitney is hoping to win the GOP nomination to succeed the countywide official. Whitney joins us on the latest episode of Politically Speaking to talk about his campaign and how he wants to keep Jefferson County from stagnating. Let's hit the music.
This is the Politically Speaking podcast, the definitive show about Missouri politics.
Let's go back to some of those policies, to that peace and prosperity that we had some 4 to 5 years ago.
Everywhere is Democratic country once this Democrat's been there.
There are a lot of things in Washington that are very bipartisan, including some bills that I've already gotten passed.
And I think it works best when you can see both sides, but you have to pick one, and I firmly align with the Republicans.
But certainly, I think if she's running against one of the crazy dudes, certainly it's going to be a lot easier.
But I'll take wisdom and age and a few missteps in oratory over somebody who has no substance.
I believe that you represent the party's values and you move forward, and that's what I have done.
And welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, St. Louis Public Radio politics correspondent Jason Rosenbaum. Joining us in studio today, he's one of two Republicans seeking to be the next Jefferson County executive.
Tim Whitney.
Thank you so much for joining us. And if you're listening to this by now, you will also be able to listen to a Politically Speaking with his opponent, John Stockton, a businessman from Festus. We're delighted that we got both of you on. This is an open race for a pretty important office in our region. So before we talk about why you decided to run, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you were doing or what you are doing now or before you decided to run, and just sort of your links to Jefferson County, because from talking with you before we press record, they're pretty extensive.
Yeah. So born and raised in Jefferson County, my family's lived there for generations. And my wife, Stephanie, who's a school teacher in the Fox District, and I are raising our two kids in the county. I've been blessed in my life that I've gotten to serve Jefferson County through my role at the sheriff's office for 24 years, which means if you do the math, I've actually been serving the citizens of Jefferson County more years in my life than not at this point. So incredibly proud of that. But through my role at the sheriff's office, I started as a patrol deputy. I was very fortunate to be able to work through the ranks relatively quickly. And, I commanded divisions from SWAT to narcotics. And in 2017, I was appointed as the undersheriff and chief financial officer, a position I've been in since then. And we can get into the details of what that means in terms of executive leadership. But I would just say that, I've been tremendously blessed to not only live in Jefferson County my whole life, but to serve Jefferson County my whole life. And it's a place I'm in, as you'll learn, that I'm incredibly bullish on.
So one of the things I've learned throughout this crash course into Jefferson County is that a vast majority of the county is unincorporated. So that means that the sheriff's department plays a much greater role in public safety than, say, in St. Louis County. I'm not saying the St. Louis County Police Department doesn't play a large role. It absolutely does. But there's so many municipalities that many of the cities have their own police department. I know that's a little bit of a wonky question, but can you expound upon why the sheriff's department in Jefferson County may play a bigger role in everyday life than other places?
Yeah. So when you look at Jefferson County, we're one of the most unique counties in the state of Missouri in that we have a population of nearly 230,000 people, and the majority of that population lives in unincorporated county. Counties with similar populations in the state, their populations tend to live in municipalities or cities within their county. Roughly 74% of our population is an unincorporated county, and about 92 to 93% of our land area is also unincorporated. So from a public safety standpoint, the county sheriff's office is the primary law enforcement agency for most of the county. What you see in some communities with, large populations is that countywide police or sheriff's office takes more of a support role to all the municipal police departments, whereas we take a role where we're truly the primary in our community, and we work to help the municipal departments. But by and large, we are the law enforcement agency most people deal with.
I talk a little bit about what an undersheriff does. I think that one of the things that I often follow in terms of law enforcement in St. Louis and the St. Louis region is that a big challenge is making sure that your law enforcement agency is an attractive place to work. Some of that is culture, but some of that is also making sure that you pay people well.
Yeah.
I think there's a good reason why the St. Louis County Police Department attracts a lot of people and the St. Louis Police Department is not as attractive because one pays more than the other. So can you talk a little bit about like what you are doing as undersheriff to make it an attractive place to work?
Yeah. So undersheriff, I do get that question a lot. What is that position? It's essentially you're appointed the second in command by the sheriff, which is what that role is. So I deal with the day-to-day operations of the department, working on strategic planning. I'm the chief financial officer. We can talk about numbers at some point if you want to later. But one of the things that's really important as a police department, we're in a time in which fewer young people want to get into the profession, right? So there are fewer police officers, there's more jobs than there are people willing to do them. So you do have to have an environment, as you touched on, a place that people want to work. Salaries are a big part of that. But when you really go across the board, salaries are within our region close enough that there's not just ginormous disparities in which it's tough. So you do have to have the culture. You have to have the equipment. You have to have the tools. And what a lot of young people want is opportunity. If you work in a very small municipal department, you may be on patrol for the entirety of your career. You may work there 30 years, and most of that is in patrol at some function. Whereas if you come to a larger organization like ours, you could get into crime scene, you can get into forensics, you can get into being a detective, canine officer, SWAT, all the different roles that, you know, sometimes are the prettier roles that everybody, you know, builds television shows on. So there's more opportunity for that. So you have to then market yourself as a department that has opportunity. And I think one of the greatest things that we've been able to do is really become kind of a destination department in the region, in which people do come from organizations within the entire St. Louis region, from other departments to our community to work.
What do you think is – I know we're going to talk about county executive in a minute, but I am actually curious about this because Jefferson County is – I wouldn't classify it as a poor or low-income county. There are parts of it that I think are well off, but it's much more working class, and it does have probably more poverty than St. Charles County. And oftentimes you see places with more poverty just have more crime for some reason. What are the things that a Jefferson County deputy encounters when they're on patrol? The assumption would be that a lot of it would be drugs, but I would imagine that it could be pretty much anything, essentially.
Yeah, it's an incredibly diverse county because if you look at the way our county is set up, we have a sizable population at 230,000 people. Now, if you're on the south end of the county, that's much more rural, so things are more spread out. If you're on the northern end of the county, it can be much more suburban. So you could have a deputy on a call in the northern end of our county dealing with a shooting or stabbing, which is really the exception in our community, but those things can happen. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, a deputy on the south end of the county could be getting a call because a farmer's cows got out of the pasture and they're on a state highway.
I was just going to say cows getting out. You read my mind.
Those two calls could be happening at the same time. So when I started the sheriff's office and all the years I've been there, what I always thought was unique is you got to handle everything. And we're tremendously blessed because we are an incredibly low-crime community. Violent crime doesn't happen very often in our county. We're like any community where you have the property crimes and those things happen. But in terms of whodunit violent crime in which you don't know who the suspect is because there was no relationship, that is really an incredible exception in our community. And we're proud of that. And it's not just the work that we've done at the sheriff's office and that we continue to do at the sheriff's office. You know, that's relationships with our prosecuting attorney, relationships with the judges. And really, I think the greatest thing I've ever heard was a community will only have as much crime as it's willing to tolerate. And our community doesn't tolerate crime. And so with that, we have an incredibly safe place and proud to be there.
We will eventually get to county executive, but this is a fascinating branch of conversation. Mm-hmm. You mentioned prosecutor, and I think that there, if you look at what happened in St. Louis City with Kim Gardner and then what you've seen with Gabe Gore, there is absolutely a difference between having a prosecutor that's seen as functional and one that's seen as completely non-functional. It doesn't really seem like that's an issue in Jefferson County, but what is the interplay like between law enforcement and the prosecutor there?
So Tricia Stefanski is our prosecuting attorney, and she's incredibly effective. And I've known Trish for well over 20 years now. The interesting thing about prosecuting attorneys, not just locally, but across the nation, was it was kind of a position a lot of people never really thought about, wasn't really on the forefront of people's brains in terms of the law enforcement system. And then you saw some kind of highly publicized prosecuting attorneys, you know, across the nation and some of the decisions they made. And people started realizing, wow, these people play a tremendous role because law enforcement makes the arrest and makes application for the charges. The prosecuting attorney is largely the one that makes a decision if those charges proceed forward. And so if you have a prosecutor that is more willing to take cases to trial, that is more willing to charge those cases, they really set the tone for law enforcement for a community. And again, we're blessed in our county. I think Tricia does an amazing job, and she works and her staff works with our office. And so if we do have, you know, that homicide or that person has committed multiple burglaries, their office is really willing to work with us to make sure that we work on justice for our victims.
And it's not always the case in lesser populated counties. I've gone through a crash course about what's been going on in Ray County in the last couple of days. We're recording this on July 17th, 2026. But there was like a blood feud between the sheriff in Ray County and the prosecutor. Mm-hmm. And I guess the sheriff was ousted for some reason. And now the prosecutor is about to be ousted because she was a sex pest, apparently. So when those two do not work together, bad things happen. And not only is it embarrassing, it's really bad for crime victims and also bad for people who are accused of crimes who may not have done it. So that's sort of why I'm asking about this law enforcement legal relationship, because it really is important to everyday life, basically.
Yeah, and that's part of the role of government, right? Like elected officials across all branches of government, all elected offices have a responsibility to work together for the common good of their community. So when, you know, the situation you're describing in Ray County, that's incredibly disheartening, because when those things are happening, the good of the community isn't happening, right? But we're blessed, again, that we have a great working relationship across the board, and we got to continue to make sure those things happen.
All right. Let's finally talk about county executive.
Yeah,
why did you decide to run?
So for me, I love Jefferson County. And as I say that, I can hear listeners, you know, gasping or rolling their eyes because that's a political answer. And, you know, as somebody who is in law enforcement my whole life, someone who's lived there my whole life, when I said those words, they were taken at face value. The day you become a politician, there's a sense of skepticism that applies to that. And there should be because of, you know, things politicians before us have done. So first and foremost, I do really believe in our community. And the reality is Jefferson County is going to experience pressure to grow in the upcoming decade like we've probably not seen before. We've been a growing community. We've seen, you know, what's happening in St. Charles County, where there is seemingly this pushback against population growth and even industrial and some commercial growth. And so that's going to put pressure to come south into Jefferson County. And in that next decade, it's going to be a tough, you know, needle to thread, because you have a large portion of our community that is no growth. We want to hit the pause button where we are today. We have another portion of the community that is really pushing for economic growth. And so we're going to have to meet in the middle on that. We're going to have to understand how we grow. And that really excites me. So I've been in law enforcement, as we've talked about, for a number of years. I've gotten to do some really great things there. It's been a great career for me. But when I really get excited in terms of serving our community, it is, how do we work through the challenges and growth that are coming? And we could talk specific on that at some point if you want to down the road. And then how do we make sure that we have leadership that respects our community? We can talk about, you know, our need for transparency and some of the things that have happened. We can talk about the need for, you know, fiscal responsibility and some of the things I've done there. But at the end of the day, I recognized I could spend the next, you know, 5 to 10 years in law enforcement, retire comfortably. It's been a great career to me. Or I could step up and do more for my community. And that's the route I chose to go.
Let's talk about growth, because you're correct that Jefferson County is in a very fascinating situation. So let's just talk about the geography of Jefferson County. One of the things I've noticed is that the northern part feels like almost an extension of South St. Louis County, probably less expensive to live there, probably more incorporated in an ironic way, because all of South St. Louis County is unincorporated. But as soon as you kind of get to, I guess, the central part of Jefferson County, it becomes very rural, and it just doesn't seem like it's very developed very much. It's why like half of Jefferson County is in a state Senate district with like five other counties, mm-hmm. because there's just not as many people that live down there. Has there been like, is there just sort of like a feeling among the people that live in southern Jefferson County is they just don't want a lot of development down there and they kind of like the more rural feel? Or do you think eventually that growth is going to have to move farther south and eventually that part of the county will just have more people?
Yeah, I think just the natural progression of growth in our county has happened on where the infrastructure is. So you had Interstate 55 that runs the eastern side of our county. And so naturally it was easier for growth to happen in those corridors. People moving from the St. Louis region into Jefferson County wanted to live on a or near a highway that would allow them to commute to the jobs that they already had largely in St. Louis County at the time. Same with the Highway 30 corridor. It is on the northern end of our county. And so that's where naturally the growth happened. You're correct that the south end of our county is very rural. We have, you know, agricultural areas in our county. We have century farms in our community that are there. And then you have the topography of our county, which has also dictated growth because Jefferson County is a lot of hills, peaks, and valleys. We joke that the topsoil in Jefferson County is granite. And so it's a difficult place to build, too. So that has hampered some of that growth. And the natural topography of the county has dictated where some of the growth has happened because where there's flatter land and more soil to work with is where the growth happens. And certainly in the north end of the county, where it's more difficult, it has happened less. So I think that will continue to happen. But one of the things I love about our county is we really get to offer a little bit of something to everybody. You know, my wife and I live on a 5-acre lot in South Jefferson County because I love the woods. I love mowing a large yard. I love being out there and doing that. To some people, that is their nightmare. And so they can live on, you know, a small lot somewhere. We have apartments in our community. So we have an incredible diversity of places to live that really gets an opportunity for everybody. If you want to buy a farm and live in a farm, we have that in our community as well. So one of the things I think is our strongest draw is that we have all these opportunities, and we have to find a way as we grow to make sure we maintain that diversity within our community. I think, you know, growth in itself is not a bad thing. I think poorly planned growth is. So again, we're going to have to thread that needle with how do we preserve the beauty of our county? How do we preserve the agricultural parts of our county? But then at the same time, how do we increase our opportunity for commercial industrial development and certainly some housing developments along the way?
One of the things when I was talking to then County Executive Ken Waller, who sadly passed away last year, is one of the perennial issues is just getting transportation money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think for a long time there you had this fast growing county, mm-hmm. but the roads were just not equipped to deal with all this growth. Is that going to be a major issue when you're county executive? And does that also just involve dealing with like the federal delegation to try to get federal funds that could potentially help the infrastructure overall?
Well, it's a combination of both, and you're correct. If you look at Jefferson County's county roads, right, we talked about the topography of the county, and because of that, we have lots of windy two-lane county roads. And so if you do any sort of medium or high density housing on it, you put a lot of cars in a roadway not equipped to handle it. You had young drivers in the roadway. So it creates some growing pains, and then we have to go back and largely fix those roadways. But those are county roadways that the county does have influence in how we do it. And I would like to see us be a little more proactive with understanding these are the areas growth is going to happen. Let's get those roads in a position to accommodate that growth as opposed to after. But one of the biggest challenges we have in our community is really state infrastructure. You've seen the significant investment from the state in terms of widening Interstate 55 all the way to 67. That's going to bring additional growth, and that was much needed investment. But Jefferson County runs in three silos in terms of state highway infrastructure. You have highway, you know, Interstate 55 that is north-south. I mean, you can get from Festus to Arnold. You have the Highway 21 corridor that will bring you from DeSoto to Hillsboro up to Fenton. And you have the Highway 30 corridor that's going to take you from Dittmer, Cedar Hill up to House Springs. Now, those three corridors, what connects them east-west is where we really lack. You can get from 21 to 55 relatively quickly on Highway M, but, you know, Highway A needs more development. All the state highways from B to BB, we really lack there. So it is going to be a task for the next executive to not only understand the dollars that we have that we can spend and should spend to update our county roadways, but we're going to have to fight on the state and federal level to get additional investment east-west. Because if we're able to connect Cedar Hill to Arnold, High Ridge to Festus, that's going to open up economic opportunity for the businesses in those areas. And it's going to open up opportunity for people to grow and build additional in our community.
When I was talking with the candidates who are running for St. Charles County Executive, I think that there was a real underlying nervousness that the growth there is not sustainable because mm-hmm. the region's overall population has been pretty flat.
Yeah.
And you see a situation like St. Louis City's population has continued to go down. St. Louis County's population has either gone down or been stagnant. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like eventually that is going to cause the growth in St. Charles County and Jefferson County to stagnate as well. First of all, do you believe that? And number two, since you're going to be on East-West Gateway, what mm-hmm. do you want to do to try to help the regional population grow rather than just decline or stagnate?
Yeah, I attended a really great demographic study not too long ago, and it was about the St. Louis region as a whole, not just Jefferson County. And what we do know is our region is losing people. Like more people are leaving our region or dying in our region than we're birthing or are moving to our region. So it's going to be significant, right? Largely, what we see in terms of population movement into Jefferson County is coming from St. Louis County. It's coming from St. Louis City. We are losing some of our population southwest into St. Francis County. So it is going to continue to be a problem for our region. And while we recognize that's an issue, we also have to look at the populations we do have. So Jefferson County, about 25% of our population is under 21, which is a really healthy place to be as a community. The challenge with that is we have to make the decisions today. We have to have the housing, we have to have the jobs and the amenities that's going to keep that generation here. I like to say I'm incredibly selfish. My daughter's 16, my son's about to turn 14, and I'm very prayful that they choose to stay close to where they are today so I can be close to them when they reach adulthood. But from the regional perspective, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to bring jobs. We're going to have to encourage businesses to grow and develop here so we have the jobs they want. And at the same time, we have to have the housing they want as well. You know, sometimes people really feel frustrated about a new subdivision on smaller lots or an apartment. But we have to understand that, you know, humans typically grow and go through different cycles of their life. Early in life, when your income is small and you may have a lot of student debt or whatever that looks like, you're typically living in an apartment or smaller housing. Later in life, you can afford to move into larger housing. And then in some cases, we see people late in life choose to move into apartments and smaller housing because it's less maintenance too. So you also have to make sure within not just our county, but the region that we have all the housing that people need for their stages in life.
Do you think that one of the things that's causing the region to not be attractive to potential residents is the perception that the entire region is dangerous when in reality it's just I'm not trying to downplay the crime issues in St. Louis City or St. Louis County, but it's not – you go to St. Louis City, there's not crime everywhere you go. There's not crime everywhere you go in North St. Louis County, but the perception is there. Do you think that's playing a role?
Yeah, and I'm going to challenge you on this. I think, you know, perception is reality. I think it's sometimes hard to separate the two because if you truly perceive something and that becomes your reality, even if statistically that is not the reality, that becomes a narrative that, you know, drives the decisions you make. And I think that is impacting our community. I think safety does. I know people personally that won't go to a Cardinals game right now because they feel it's unsafe. And these are people that historically did go to Cardinals games. I've actually had deputies say, I'm not going to go to a Cardinals game to get my window busted out or I, you know, worry about some sort of violent crime happening to me or my family. And those are very perceived. I think statistically, I think those are still anomalies.
I was going to say like that. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but that's more of a perception thing.
Without a doubt.
If you go down, I park downtown all the time and I might just be lucky, but my window has never been broken before. Yeah. So I think that's a perception more than reality. Because if it was reality, you would have a million broken car windows every time you go downtown.
But that perception becomes your reality and it becomes what drives the decisions you make. And I'll use, you know, Jefferson County, for example. We're an incredibly safe county. We had a part of our county at one point that was really upset because they felt that crime was out of control and that no one was addressing it. And that was their perception. We pulled up the statistics, we pulled up the call logs, all the things that were happening. Crime was actually going down at that time. There was less crime in that community then than there was even 10 years earlier, but the perception was.
In St. Louis City, the crime has been going down too, so continue.
Yeah, and so, but the perception amongst those people was real, and they didn't so much care about the statistics at that time. They didn't really care about what we were sharing as much as what we were going to do to address the perceived increase in crime. And I think our region experiences that. You know, we can be here in St. Louis and say, this is a safe place. We can provide evidence that, like you have provided, that, you know, you work here and these things haven't happened. But if you're a 19-year-old looking to move and relocate from Chicago, what you're seeing in the national media is going to be your reality. And if the national media perception is that we're a dangerous place, it's going to continue to impact us. So public safety has to be a priority in terms of improving that image. And it's going to take some time. Those aren't easy perceptions to change, especially on the national level.
We'll be right back after this quick break with Jefferson County Republican candidate Tim Whitney. And we're back on Politically Speaking with Tim Whitney. He is one of two Republicans who is running for Jefferson County Executive. All right, you probably knew this question was coming. Let's talk data centers, because Jefferson County, like St. Charles City, I say city, not county, because it was St. Charles City where it was the first epicenter, has been, a ground zero for some data center rumblings. And I'm going to contradict myself again, because the controversy was not in unincorporated Jefferson County, but it was in Festus. How are you going to handle the data center issue? Because I imagine sort of like the St. Charles County executive candidates, you have limited ability to stop a data center in a municipality. But since so much of Jefferson County is unincorporated, this could be a bigger issue for county government leadership than in a lot of places. So what's sort of your general posture toward them?
Yeah. So what an emotional issue, right? We've seen the city of Festus has been in the national spotlight as the conversations happen there with the development of a data center and, you know, people's feelings on both sides of the argument, whether they're supported or against it. I actually had a conversation with the pastor of a church in Festus not too long ago, and he was asking me specific questions on my stance on data centers, but he shared, you know, his concern, because even with his own church, it had fractured, you know, members to where they were upset with each other. And so he was trying to manage that from a faith-based perspective of getting people to come together on it. So it is an incredibly, you know, fracturing issue. But to get directly to what you're asking, when we're talking about the hyperscale data centers, you know, people want to know, are you for them or against it? And I don't think that position is easy for an executive to be, largely because the executive is not a legislative decision maker. The county executive in Jefferson County, the position doesn't have a lot of legislative influence. At the end of the day, if something is going to be developed in unincorporated county, those decisions are largely going to be decided by the county council. That's not to run from the issue, because the county executive is going to provide leadership. The county executive is the chief economic development officer by charter in our county. So there is going to be a role in those early stages.
And couldn't you veto? Do you have a sign or veto ability? Yep. You could veto them hypothetically. So
yep, that's your limited legislative role. But at the end of the day, when we really examine these, you have to examine them on a case-by-case basis and understand that technology is moving at such a rate. The conversation we're having about a data center here in July of 2026 could be very different by July of 2028. So we have to examine it from that perspective too. But at the end of the day, I support protecting our community. The community is largely going to drive the conversation. We can talk about transparency in just a moment, but when you talk to people, they worry about environmental concerns. They worry about the cost being passed on to them for the upgrades to the electrical or, you know, water. And so we have to look at those things. Certainly tax abatements is something that comes up. I don't believe that Jefferson County should ever be in a position in which we're giving billion-dollar corporation tax money or subsidizing their development. I think they are capable of doing that themselves. So we have to look at each one individually, because if we're talking about a development in a residential area that has significant environmental impacts, the answer may be no. If we're talking about an industrial area away from homes in which they're able to mitigate the environmental impact and we're able to do it without subsidizing them in some way, The answer may be yes. So it's hard to say you shouldn't have a rubber stamp of always and never. You really have to weigh them individually, and then you bring that proposal to the legislative body and help them make that decision.
Yeah, and I think that there probably are a lot more areas in unincorporated Jefferson County that could fit the industrial that you just mentioned. Why do you think people – I have my theories about why people – are so passionate against data centers. I think a lot of it is the environmental.
Mm-hmm.
They do just take up an insane amount of power.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's being understated is there's real revulsion over artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people fear it's going to take their jobs. I think some people see the output, especially in the creative elements or even in journalism. And they're not very good at creating creative things. Like a lot of like the visual things are frankly uncanny valley problems where they're actually kind of disturbing rather than amazing. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think environmental concerns is chief amongst them. You've heard me talk about the beauty of Jefferson County. I truly believe we live in one of the most beautiful communities in the state of Missouri, and that is a concern for people. So it's not always as simple as saying we can find a valley or a piece of industrial land somewhere and the community is going to be okay with it, because reality is people are very passionate about preserving the beauty of Jeffco, and they perceive these to disturb that. So we have to keep that in mind. But people are afraid of the environmental impacts. We hear that a lot. We have a large agricultural community in Jefferson County, and people fear if you tap into, you know, our aquifer through wells, that you could, you know, dry up the wells that are supporting these beautiful farms in our community. So that's a very real, not just perceived concern for people. And certainly we're talking about affordability. Affordability continues to be, you know, our community and largely in the national news right now is largest concern. And, you know, when your electric bill goes up, that impacts your ability to afford other things. And so the fear that if these large electric consumers' cars are electric bills to go up, that's great fear. And then you touched on AI. The reality is with AI, some people believe if we stop data centers, we stop the continued development of AI. What we do know about human history, whether it was the wheel or we're talking about artificial intelligence, once technology leaves the bottle, it never goes back in. So it's our reality moving forward, and it's how we manage that. So that is not going to work there. But I certainly understand everybody's concerns. I listen, I hear them, and I have many of the same concerns moving forward.
One of the things that I think people were especially upset about in St. Charles and Festus is you mentioned the lack of transparency.
Got it out.
And I think one of the problems that a lot of these data centers bring is that there's all these like NDAs about
yep.
who's behind them, and
mm-hmm.
they sort of just drop them on a community at the last minute after they pretty much have all the political support. If this goes into a city, like a municipality, you have really limited ability mm-hmm. to affect that process.
Yeah.
I think we got to really be clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is a lot of incentive for some of these cities to build data centers because they could bring in a lot of revenue potentially.
Yeah.
But let's just say there's a proposal in Jefferson County. What would you want to do to make sure that it's more transparent than some of the recent ones in St. Louis region?
So we've had two projects in Jefferson County. We've seen the one in St. Charles City play out, and they were kind of perfect road maps for how not to do a project, right? In St. Charles City that you talked about with the data center, Jefferson County, we had the development of a large commercial area in Arnold, and it was kind of the same thing. NDAs were signed. It was rolled out to the public as a done deal without their input. We saw in Festus, very similar. They didn't sign NDAs there, but we did learn that those conversations were happening a year in advance before the public was aware of them. The sooner you allow the public to be engaged, the better. And that is... It sounds so simplistic, but we've seen it fail many times. I would hope that the leadership in Festus learned a hard lesson about those things. But we have to engage people as soon as we can. They don't want to feel like there's a backdoor deal or a closed room deal and NDAs have been signed and all the secrecy that happens, because that creates mistrust. I mean, there's no way that I could trust a government that I work for if they were doing those things, and you can't expect the public to either. So we have to be upfront, honest, and vocal throughout the entire process, right? And we have to allow citizens to weigh in on it. Simply having a community forum and just listening and nodding and then, you know, walking away and doing something different doesn't always work. People don't just want to be heard. They want to feel that they are being heard and that steps are being taken to address some of those concerns. It's tough. It's really tough environment because everybody's idea of transparency is different. But I believe this. No one has ever complained that the government gave them too much information. No one has ever said, my local government told me way too much. I just didn't want to spend my time in it. What people will say is, they didn't tell me enough. I didn't know soon enough. I didn't feel like I was part of the process. We have to start there.
Let's talk about the dynamics of this primary. So I'm going to guess, because I did talk with you extensively before you pressed record, that this just is the race between you and John Stockton is just not like St. Louis County Executive or St. Charles County Executive. Yeah. He's not going to attack you. You're not going to attack him. There's this. How does it change how this race is? Because when you basically have to run on campaigning really hard and my ideas and philosophy are good, that's so much different than my opponent sucks, basically. Yeah. So I'd like to hear what it's like running in A rather than B.
So I'll put it this way. If you were sitting in the lobby and you were doing a job interview and you got your time in the room and you sat down and the panel started asking you questions, you wouldn't sit down and give them 100 reasons why the other people in the lobby shouldn't be hired. You're there to sell yourself on why you should be hired, right? And running for office is the exact same thing. I don't think it's right to run on why not the other guy. Tell me why you. And because I feel that way whenever I'm voting, I wanted to have a campaign like that. I have never had an interest and never would attack an opponent just because I think it takes away from the conversation. I think it, you know, sometimes is a look over here, not over here. I would rather spend my time campaigning hard, answering the tough questions, and knowing that win or lose at the end of the day, I did it right. I stayed true to who I was as a person and didn't have to spend time regretting things that I maybe shouldn't have said. And, you know, meeting, you know, at one point there was three of us in our primary race. We have two of us now. And all of us, you know, we get along. We're cordial. It's not personal, right? It is us interviewing with the public, as I'm doing here today and John has already done, on the issues, on why we believe we're qualified for the job. And my thing has been this. I think the county executive is an incredible leadership position in the community. The way you lead isn't just the things you say. It's how you live, the things you do. I have this belief that if I were to seek office and win office doing things that way, then how could I encourage other people not to do those things, right? So my responsibility as a candidate and if I'm elected as county executive is to lead in the right way and be a good person and not spend my time attacking others.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Politically Speaking is a product of St. Louis Public Radio, which is part of the University of Missouri system. You can follow all of our coverage at stlpr.org. And how could people follow you either on the World Wide Web or on social media where you want to be found?
Yeah, I'm on whitneyforexecutive.com. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. Just look up Tim Whitney for Executive. And certainly these last 3 weeks of the campaign, you see me just about everywhere in Jefferson County because if there's a birthday party, parade, or event, we're there.
Thank you very much.
Until
next time, so long. Politically Speaking is produced by Sarah Kellogg, Rachel Lipman, and me, Jason Rosenbaum. The show is edited by Fred Ehrlich. Read all of our coverage at stlpr.org. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Politically Speaking by searching the term Politically Speaking on Apple Podcasts. From St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking.